Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas. I'm your sit-in host, John Cox. I'm sitting in for Amanda Coulson this evening, and I'm in studio with Alistair Stevenson, on the edge, successful creative artist, and a major part of our creative community, working in clay and having all kinds of interesting experiences all over the world. The last segment, we were talking a little bit about his experiences at COB and the ceramics world from a technical point of view, and we were getting into the kind of differences between, or the similarities between, what we call, I guess, fine art and craft and pottery and ceramics, etc. And we want to continue that conversation, but I also want to get into with Alistair a little bit more about his travels to China. In the first segment, you talked about a brief stint that you had in China. Right. And that kind of turned into something that was maybe not so brief. So you want to talk to us a little bit about your how you got to China in the first place and how you ended up staying there?
Right. Well, actually, I wound up applying for a Chinese government scholarship, which took me over to China in 2013. Mm-hmm. And I spent a year in the city of Nanjing. And I spent a year there studying Chinese language, which was quite challenging, but very interesting. Anyway,
so you were studying language, not
just language, straight up language, and that would have involved, you know, like some cultural studies, getting a general understanding of the space we were in, and sort of the history behind China. Anyway, after that year was completed, because we had to get to a certain level in order, a certain level in language, and pass a particular examination in order to get into university. I then moved from Nanjing to Jingdezhen, and Jingdezhen is in the south of China. Both of these places are in the south of China, and Jingdezhen is known for its over a thousand years history of creating porcelain there, creating mm-hmm. ceramics. And it's currently at that time I started studying at Jingdezhen Ceramics Institute, which has recently become university, but it's still called Institute. I don't really understand the technicality behind that, but anyway, not
sure.
The point.
Yep.
And going there, despite the fact that I had spent quite a long time at COB, I had an associate's degree, none of my credits transferred, so I had to restart my entire degree, which was fine for me. I mean, at first, of course, I was a bit like, well, not pleased with it.
Right,
but
right.
It was great because I wound up studying a lot of things that I actually went there wanting to study. Mm-hmm. Lots of technical things that I was hoping to get out of being in that university.
Good, mm-hmm. good. So, and that was, so you've been there now for how many years?
4 years. I've been in China in general for 4 years. Mm-hmm. First year was in Nanjing, and then the last 3 years I've been in Jingdezhen, so in total 4 years.
So we were talking a little bit before we came on air a little bit about, I think there's a kind of a fascination, and let's just be honest, I think that there's a curiosity and fascination about Chinese culture now, especially as it relates to our local landscape. And you talked about how when you first went, it was just about language.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all full disclosure, I think some people know I'm currently the creative art director for Bahamar,
right.
And previous to that, I'd spent a year teaching at St. Andrew's School, and it's interesting because for the IB program, a lot of the younger kids are learning to speak Mandarin,
right.
And it would be really interesting to have this room of sixth graders run around, and they're starting all of a sudden they start speaking to each other in Chinese, and you're like, oh, what? I don't understand. But it is a kind of a wave of the future. I think it will become increasingly relevant for not just us, but people in this region. So, what was that like learning the language?
It was quite challenging.
Because you said that you were fluent, right?
I'm fluent to a certain extent, absolutely. Anything, everyday sort of language is fine for me. I mean, like I'm the only foreigner in my class,
right.
So I have to speak Chinese all the time. So 70 to 90% of my day is like
speaking
Chinese.
You're the only
foreigner. In my particular group, yeah,
okay.
for my year.
Awesome.
Yeah. So sometimes we get other foreigners who come in to do like exchange programs, or they just come in to do the course just out of interest.
Right.
But for my group that I'm in, I'm the only foreigner. So most of my friends are Chinese.
Sure. Yeah. No, I understand.
Yeah. But it is definitely a very difficult language to learn because you are not dealing with a Latin-based language or Latin-based letters. You know, it's not like going from English to studying English as a mother language to studying Spanish, French, Italian, something like that, which would be much easier. Generally speaking, you're going from a language that does not have letters. It has characters, and each of those characters you have to actually memorize how to say it. You can't look at it and know how to say it. You have to remember how to say it. So it's constant repetition and constant right. thinking about these words and how to say them.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's language. I mean, I think language and communication are all rooted in our own creative processes and practices. Mm. So I'd like to for the listeners to learn a little bit more about how you see your art, and it is art.
Right.
It's not ceramics. It's not photography. It's not, some discipline that describes it, your art. How have you witnessed your own art evolve over the last 3 years?
Yeah. One thing what I went to Jingdezhen in particularly, went to Jingdezhen for in particular, was the technical skill there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that my work, technically speaking, has actually increased. The level has increased a lot more, and I really appreciate that. But in some ways now I'm getting beyond that sort of technical desire. I really am creating more work, creating work that is more concept oriented,
mm-hmm.
and trying to sort of pull out ideas, focus on ideas or concepts in society,
mm-hmm.
and finding ways to use these techniques to actually create this work. So the technique just becomes a manner of, it's just a vehicle.
Right.
The
right.
material is just a vehicle to expressing these ideas, whether those are ideas of simply beauty or ideas of fragility, ideas of issues in society, social issues, whatever. So for me now in my practice, I know it is coming more to something that is focused on concept.
Right.
But
right.
of course, when you work with the material, you like working with particular materials, like we were talking about earlier, there's always, you get past a certain level of skill and you try to find ways to bring that into your work, like the best way to actually bring the work into being.
Right.
So
right.
it's not just about concept.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's like a bit of a balance, right?
It's a balance,
You need
yeah.
to be able to have the method,
yes.
the appropriate method to support the narrative
yes.
in a way. I mean, and I think one of the disciplines, as we were discussing before we came on air, there are a lot of disciplines in the art world that seem to be very heavily about the history of the rules. Of
right.
this. We talked about photography. We talked about ceramics being one. We talked also about printmaking. And
right.
there are all these rules and you can't do this and you can't, the print must be perfectly aligned.
Yeah.
There cannot be any error. There can't be any irregularity. All of the editions need to look exactly the same, you know, or, through some lenses, there's a kind of a degree of failure. And I've always found that people who use these disciplines in a way that break out of that are the ones who I think maybe have, a degree of success or notoriety in a certain
right.
kind of way. Not to say that the people who are following rules are not, you shouldn't follow rules, because you
right.
certainly should, especially as you're learning.
Right.
But I think that is interesting. We were talking a little bit earlier about this kind of local community here and what it was like. Is there anything like an intimate community of creatives that you associate with in China? And I know you talk a little bit about like a group of friends, but like,
yeah.
is it more institutional support or locals or,
I think it's a balance of several things really. Because of my friends, we all study ceramics, we all study ceramic art. You definitely get that influence, like when you just sit down and you start discussing, ways to create work and ways to create ideas, bring about ideas from your work, which is great. That support comes in the sense of I get a lot of technical support, but I also get conceptual support and whether or not these pieces actually support the idea that I want to express.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the sense of institution, you get I think I do get a lot of support from the school, especially for my school, the international school, because I'm working with them constantly.
Right.
And I also help them in the office, like for sometimes translation, you know, a little related within the arts, but more administrative work.
Right.
And also like helping any artists that come there.
Right.
We sometimes have like foreign artists come to do residencies, and I would assist with like interpretation for them, getting some things done if they don't speak Chinese.
Sure. Sure.
So I get that from the institution. That's like the biggest thing for me and my education, of course.
No, absolutely.
But in the community itself, there's mostly technical support that you can get from the people there, because there are so many artisans there who are just, and you know, there's something else we touched on when we were speaking, is that they're creating for the purpose of the fact that it is their job to create, not because they are an artist and they desire to create it. They desire to create an object for you, but they won't see themselves as artists.
Right.
They see themselves as workers.
Well, that's an interesting point that I wanna get into. There's actually a few things that I think will actually take us to the beginning of the next segment.
Right.
But I wanna rewind a little bit and ask you about, because you are a success story. Right, I think that we can talk about Alistair Stevenson and say, "Oh, yeah, this is a good. So far, so good. It's awesome. He's kind of taken the bull, you know, by the horns and done it the way he wants to do it." And your path to that, I think, is interesting. I mean, my background also is in art education.
Right.
From when I was in art school,
my
graduate degree is art education, and I never thought I would use it. I kind of had the same, like, oh, I don't know. But it's interesting, like, teaching outside of the traditional construct of a school,
right,
which I think is highly problematic. I'll just say that, right? School structure is not set up for variety.
Yeah.
Not all schools, but the majority.
The majority, definitely.
But your role as curator.
Right.
At the DAF, at the D'Agla Art Foundation, which is also very pivotal to so many artists in this community, I'd like to begin the conversation on how you see maybe building a platform for other artists, older or younger, just other artists, to experience things that are similar to what you have, because we are a very small community, and we have to own that, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes exposure, you can go a little crazy looking at the same four walls here and trying to be stimulated, right?
Yes.
So a lot of people want to move. So what do you think? We have two more minutes before we shut down for the break. But what do you think you could do 10 years down the road from now that may enable 10 more artists who are interested in a discipline that's maybe not so central to do what you did?
Actually, I'm really glad you mentioned that, because I just recently came back from an artist residency in Denmark, and this place called the small town called Skelskor, and the name of the residency is called Guliga, which means like I think it means like golden farm. Anyway, and that was my first international residency. I mean, I've done the pop-up junior residency. I did the Ex Nihilo art residency here. But like being on a residency outside of the Bahamas, that really influenced me a lot. It was a short 3 weeks, but it was bursting and it was exciting. I mean, I learned so many different things.
Right.
And during that time, like one of the things I kept thinking of is, wow, this would be a brilliant thing to bring to the Bahamas.
Right.
I think one of the biggest advantages we have is the sun, sand, and sea. I mean, we have the tourism, we have the environment, and as an artist, being able to work in this kind of environment, I think it can just be a very beautiful experience. I mean, you get here, you're creating work, and you have this atmosphere that you just won't get in any other place. You have these colors in the water that you won't get in any place.
Right.
You get white sand, you get beautiful pink coral, you get pink sand. I mean, it's gorgeous, this environment.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to see an artist residency, artist residency in the Bahamas that is focused on not just international but also local artists. However, for upcoming artists, it would provide opportunities, for example, assistants who could come in and work with these artists.
Okay.
People who can you have technical support with, people who may be into the arts but maybe into the administration of arts, you know what I mean, curating shows or even, you know, understanding some sort of history.
Okay. All right. That's good. Well, I just want to stick a pin in that while we go to a break, and we'll come back and talk more about that. And I also want to talk about your upcoming exhibition and artist talk at Dunderlich Studios. But until then, we are on Guardian Radio 96.9, and I'm in studio with Alistair Stevenson, and we will be right back after these messages.